All right, 31 after the hour. Welcome back, everyone. We are joined today from his home in the Bay Area of California by Normal's deputy director and the author or co-author of Marijuana is Safer, So Why Are We Driving People to Drink, Mr. Paul Armentano. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Rob.
We got some email coming through our affiliates list that highlighted a study that I thought you would be the perfect person to talk about. It's about drug testing, and specifically drug testing in American schools. They've taken a look at this to get the results of what drug testing has and hasn't done in the schools, and I thought maybe you could break that down for our audience and give them the straight information.
Sure. There was a Department of Education study that came out about a week or two ago. And what it did was it analyzed the reported student drug use in schools that had implemented random drug testing programs, and it matched those against schools of similar size that didn't have student drug testing programs. And what it found was that among the students that were randomly drug tested in high schools that had these programs, they reported using illicit substances at slightly lower levels as compared to student athletes in similar schools that didn't have those programs. Now, that's where the good news began and ended, because what the study also found was that if you looked at the entire student body of schools that had random drug testing programs versus schools that didn't, what you found was the same levels of student drug use among the student body, even in schools that had these random drug testing programs. So there was, in a sense, no spillover effect. Mm-hmm. There was a mild deterring effect among the group of students that were actually subjected to the drug testing, but when you looked at the student bodies as a whole, which would, of course, include students that were drug tested versus students that weren't, drug testing made no impact in the student body's decision to use or not use drugs. In fact, their rates of drug use were the same as in schools that had no drug testing program whatsoever.
Hmm. Is it possible here that what we're looking at is that the kids who were going out for extracurriculars weren't likely to be wanting to do drugs in the first place, and the kids that were doing drugs in the first place weren't likely to want to go out for extracurriculars, so it really made no difference?
That certainly could be a result. There also could be the fact that students that were participating in extracurricular activities and in fact knew then they were subject to drug testing may have been engaging in behaviors that were less likely to subject them to a positive drug test. Now, proponents of drug testing would look at the data and say, well, obviously, these students that were subject to drug testing were using fewer drugs. Mm-hmm. That may have been the case, or in fact, students that were being subject to drug testing may have been simply engaging in activities to defeat the drug test.
Right.
It's not particularly hard to do. Or they may have been increasing their intake of alcohol, which, as I would remind people, is also illegal for people of high school age. Or they may have been consuming drugs that are less likely to show up in drug tests. There's all sorts of different hypotheses that could explain these results. And I should just reinforce that while the schools that had these drug testing programs, when you look at the students that were tested, their use was below the student bodies in schools that didn't have drug testing, but not by very much. It did not appear to be much of a deterrent, if in fact it was a deterrent at all. And we have previous studies that have been done by the federal government looking at a larger cross-section of schools nationally, and in those studies, they did not find any difference between the schools that drug tested versus schools that did so.
Let's talk about that, what I would consider maybe an unintended consequence that you kind of touched on, and the notion that the drug testing may be diverting young people from using cannabis, which they're very well aware is the easiest thing to detect for the longest period of time, and this may be diverting them instead to try other drugs or alcohol that they know won't be tested for as long a period of time. I know the statistics are showing this huge increase in the abuse of prescription drugs among the young people. Are there other studies or statistics that would lend credence to the notion that student drug testing diverts people from marijuana to harder and worse drugs?
Well, there's many well-respected organizations. The American Academy of Pediatrics comes to mind. And these are organizations that strongly oppose student drug use. And that would include use of illicit drugs like alcohol or the abuse of prescription drugs and the use of illicit drugs like marijuana or cocaine or LSD or other drugs of that nature. Now, the reason I highlight the American Academy of Pediatrics is because they strongly oppose any use of these substances by young people, but they as equally strongly oppose random student drug testing practices. And one of the main reasons the American Academy of Pediatrics opposes random drug testing among students is for the reason you just gave. They are very concerned that because these drug tests are most likely to detect marijuana, which objectively is arguably the most innocuous of the illicit substances available, they are very concerned that you're going to see students switching from drugs like marijuana and then moving on to drugs like cocaine, which by any objective standard is far more dangerous, but is also far less likely to show up in a random urine screen. Mm.
You know, these programs that we aim toward children, the student drug testing, and also the DARE program that we have, I know in the statistics that we've looked at with DARE, we found that not only did it not reduce the kids' use of cannabis, but may have actually increased it by letting them believe that, hey, more kids are using pot than I thought were using pot. What are the long-term results of this? Did they follow up on these guys long-term to find out, you know, lifetime, did they have less use of drugs through the use of drug testing?
No, I'm not aware that anyone has done that kind of follow-up research, and it would certainly be interesting to see it. You know, a few other criticisms that are out there about student drug testing, and one thing that isn't highlighted very often, but there was a report looking at this a few months ago, and Normal reported on it, is that according to the federal drug testing guidelines for students, and I want to remind people that schools aren't doing this on their own because they suddenly think random student drug testing is a good idea. They are doing this because the education department is making money available to schools to implement drug testing programs. I'm sure everyone listening is aware that schools, public schools, are cutting back on teachers, on books, on athletic programs. The public schools are broke. But they suddenly have money to drug test their student body, and that's because the money is coming from the federal government. But there are supposed to be guidelines associated with this funding, and the primary guideline is that students who test positive for illicit drugs on these tests are supposed to remain, that information is supposed to remain confidential, and the students are not supposed to be sanctioned in any way. Yet when a review was done federally looking at the actual programs themselves, what they found was very rarely are schools that are implementing these programs, because they've taken the federal funding, very rarely are they actually abiding by the guidelines. In most cases, these results aren't kept confidential, and in far too many cases, the students are, in fact, sanctioned. In some schools, they're even suspended from school for testing positive on one of these random drug screens. That is in direct conflict with the federal guidelines.
So I'm curious about what can be done about this. I mean, I know we're hampered by Supreme Court decisions, and oddly enough, the Supreme Court decision that set this in motion took place from a school district that's not far from me, the Vernonia School District here in Oregon, which was one of the clients in the lawsuit there that went to the Supreme Court that allowed them to drug test students for athletic activities, and that later got expanded to any extracurricular activity. So because of those Supreme Court cases and those decisions, what tools do we have to fight back against this student drug testing?
Well, I think the best thing we can do as activists is expose the inadvertent adverse consequences of these programs. As you just said, the Supreme Court has ruled, at least for now, that these programs are here to stay if a public school district wishes to implement them. That said, our best offense is to convince school administrators that these programs don't work, that they're a waste of money, and that ultimately they don't help students, but they inadvertently harm students. And that's the message we need to be sending to lawmakers and particularly to school administrators. Because in these difficult economic times, when we see school districts cutting budgets on all sorts of programs and on faculty and on resources for students, it makes no sense that they should have money or be making money available to fund these sort of disingenuous and counterintuitive drug testing programs. These don't help students, they harm students.
And how about outreach to the parents here? Because it's my feeling that a lot of this and why the drug testing remains and is so popular is, number one, some parents may think it works, and we can attack that. You mentioned that. But number two, I think it provides them an easy out. It provides a feel-good measure for parents to say, you know, because they're uncomfortable having the drug talk with their kids, so they can say, you know, just don't do it or you'll fail your high school football drug test or whatever. It provides an easy out for parents. So how do we get on the parents to be against this drug testing regime?
Once again, we have to explain to parents that while on the surface, this program may look like it's helpful, it may appear to be a deterrent to young people, when in practice, it isn't deterring young people from using drugs. And in fact, it could be inadvertently harming them by causing some young people to engage in even higher risk activities to try and avoid a positive drug test result. And those higher risk activities include moving on to harder drugs that are less detectable on drug tests, or engaging in binge drinking because alcohol isn't screened for on these sort of drug tests. Or, as I said, simply engaging in practices that put their health at risk. And those could even include practices that some people engage in to try and defeat a positive drug test, like overindulging the consumption of niacin, which some people believe can cause a false negative result, but in fact, when taken in large quantities, can have very detrimental health effects on the body.
Aside from the whole drug testing angle with participation in extracurricular activities, do we have any statistics or evidence that show that kids that get involved with extracurriculars tend to have less drug use in their lifetime overall anyway?
We see that children that are engaged in all sorts of activities are much less likely to have an abusive relationship with legal intoxicants and illicit substances. Mm-hmm. That's always been, to me, one of the great ironies of these drug testing programs. They take students who are engaged in sports and extracurricular activities, behaviors that are known to be associated with less drug use and less drug abuse, and they penalize individuals involved in those activities by excluding them from participating in those activities if and when they test positive for certain illicit substances. Now, if we want to keep kids engaged, if we want to keep kids from having an abusive relationship with these substances, we want them involved in these activities. But instead, with these drug testing programs, we're actually excluding young people from these activities. And as a result, we are putting them in a pool which makes them much more at risk for having a dangerous or abusive relationship with the very drugs we're trying to deter them from engaging in at all.
Yeah, that's my exact thought, too, here is you got a kid who might be, you know, on the fence. He might be starting to fall in with some people. He's feeling a little socially inept. You know how it is when you're a teenager. You want to fit in. And so maybe you started fitting in with the guys that are smoking weed out in the parking lot. Maybe that's how you started fitting in. And then maybe later you want to get involved with band or football or some extracurricular. And you find that you can't because you already got in with this other crowd. So, what the hell? I guess I'll just stay with the crowd that I'm with. It seems, you know, a perverse incentive, if you ask me.
It really is, Russ. Like I said, we know over and over again that the way that keep a kid healthy and engaged is to keep them in school, to keep them busy, and to make sure that they participate in extracurricular activities.
Yeah.
These programs sanction students who may or may not be at risk by excluding them from the very activities that we know have a much greater likelihood than, say, random drug testing.
Yeah.
For turning out productive adults who are healthy and who are engaged and do not have a dysfunctional or abusive relationship with intoxicants.
Oh, it's so well put. Paul Armentano, and you literally wrote the book on it in many ways. Marijuana is safer, so why are we driving people to drink? And Paul, we're coming up on the Normal National Conference September 9th through 11th. Real briefly, as we wind up here, I was just wondering, are these subjects going to be covered at the conference with respect to parents and kids and drug testing? Is that something you're covering or someone else, perhaps?
That's a good question. You know, we're just now nailing down the final speakers and some of the final conference panels. This is a subject that we've talked about in the past. I'm not sure it's going to be a subject we will be talking about in that much detail at this year's conference, but most certainly I will be there. Most likely Marsha Rosenbaum from the Drug Policy Alliance will be here, and there will be others like Dale Gehringer from California Normal that are very well versed in the subject that are parents, and we would be happy to speak with individuals who have questions about these programs or even simply have questions about talking about drug use with their children. We'd be happy to avail ourselves privately at Normal's conference for those who wish to discuss it.
Yep, I've always said the two weapons left in our opponent's arsenal are the stone drivers on the street and what about the children? And Paul, you've done a great job here, at least you've attacked both of them, and this time on the whole kids argument. Very well done. Thank you for joining us here for Behind the Headlines, and we appreciate your time.
Thank you.